I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
What it is, Home Skillet, you're on another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Black Outtakes Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod. I am joined by a couple people that saw the movie as well. I'm joined by Karen. What's going on?
How you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. Also, Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews and Insanity Check Podcast.
What's going on, people?
And today's movie is Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt and Bill Paxton, honestly. Spoiler movie reviews for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers because we spoil everything and typically right away. Tom Cruise, what would be a good spoiler for this one?
That's the problem. I was thinking about what would be some good spoilers for this, yeah. But I'm just like, we kind of already know.
Yeah.
You know going in.
Yeah, Tom Cruise does manage to do some impossible white man shit, so what am I going to say? You really can't spoil impossible white man
genres.
Yeah, because this movie manages to succeed in sci-fi impossible white man blend, which is very rarely well done.
Yes, rare. It's a rarity too.
Because at the end of the shit, he don't die, so it's impossible. Like I remember when he died at the end, and I was like, "Oh man, they almost had an impossible white man sci-fi movie." Mm-hmm. Oh wait a minute, mm-hmm. Remix. It's an officer finds himself caught in a time loop in a war with an alien race. His skills increase as he faces the same brutal combat scenarios, and his union with a special forces warrior gets him closer and closer to defeating the enemy. Let me see, what the best thing is to start with. I guess we'll start with, what we didn't like. Oh, wait, should I play? I keep forgetting that we have the technology to play clips from this. And
oh,
shit.
Cause you didn't do it on the other one.
Yeah, I forgot on the last one. Anyway, fuck it. We don't need a clip. So we'll start with what we didn't like about the movie. And, we'll go from there. So Karen, what did you not like about Edge of Tomorrow?
I feel about this like I did 21 Jump Street. I had a blast. I'm very simplistic when it comes to movies. If I love it, I probably 100% love it. Might have some few flaws, but there's not really too much that I can come out and say because it was a possible white man movie. Mm-hmm. So I just love that genre. So to me, I don't have anything.
Chris?
Yeah, I gotta be honest too, man. I can't really think of anything that I really had. Because the movie surprised the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. So I can't think of anything right now that I really didn't enjoy about it.
All right. I could think of a couple things, but they're minor. I thought the, Emily Blunt, I really wish Emily Blunt and him didn't kiss at the end. I kind of liked that about Pacific Rim when it was like, they work together, but they don't necessarily have to be quote unquote in love, like falling in love with each other. And it kind of violated the whole, like, it's only been a day thing, but it was an extreme situation and movies always take the, and that's when they kissed because they knew. It's like, well, that's not really how it works, but okay, cool, whatever.
It's the thing about American movies somehow that they feel like they gotta add that love interest thing in these movies for some reason.
Yeah.
People connect. And I really wish that we get past that because you're right. I mean, it doesn't bother me anymore because I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was one of those things where you're like, this is pointless.
Yeah. She looked too hot the whole movie, so they had to do it. And the other thing that didn't work for me, and like I said, minor complaint because they're not the real, source of the movie. There's two things. All the time continuity fuck up things, but that's time travel in a movie, so you can't really fix that. Okay. Not really mad, but just saying. They was there. Don't write the show. Talking about, because the reason I'm bringing this up on my Facebook page when I said I like this movie, someone immediately was like, well, they need to explain. Okay, dog. You know what? You watch Days of Future Past. You ain't had no problems with it. Leave me alone. Okay.
See, that's why I got on people about Days of Future Past. I'm like, listen, if you're gonna explain away or let your mind wander and explain away the gaping holes in the time travel in Days of Future Past, you can't say shit about another fucking movie.
Right. I don't want to hear no more. I'm tired of time travel, loophole shit anyway. Cause let's be honest. None of us knows how to do it.
Right.
We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to, hey man, you know, you couldn't really do that. Could you not really do that? Have you done time travel? Cause I fucking haven't.
Are you from the future, motherfucker?
Right. They were like, well, you know, cause if he would have went back, why would the creatures be dead? I don't know. Okay, I don't know, but by that fucking trait, the creatures shouldn't even be good at killing us either then, right? Because they keep coming back and we're not alive. We don't keep coming back alive, do we? God damn it. Anyway, sorry about that. I got mad at my own negative, but yeah, don't don't fucking say that to me. I get it. It's not 100% the best logic. And then oh fuck, what was the kiss, the time travel thing. There was one more thing too that was like a little bit like, the aliens weren't really like
designable.
Yeah, they weren't really designed. Like they were just like video game aliens, you know what I mean? Like they were there as an obstacle to overcome, but like they weren't really like true. They were just like whipping around the screen so fast. It felt like that terrible Taylor Kitsch movie, Battleship.
Oh, yeah.
Where the bad guys are just there to kill people, but they don't really have. There's nothing they can say. There's no reason that they're doing it. They're not like they're whipping around screen all fast and special effects, but there's no true understanding of how they work. Mm-hmm. So you know they're like. But it didn't bother me that much, like I said, because let's talk about the good shit. And this, once again, we'll go around the circle, what I like to call the circle jerk, and everybody will take a turn rather than just having one person talk at a time. Karen, give me one good thing that you liked about this movie.
It felt like a video game. So if you enjoy video games, it's one of those things where you could see him. It's almost like you start a video game and you just wake up and all of a sudden you die. And instead of you having like a save point or instead of it auto saving in the corner with the little twirl, your ass got to start all the way at the beginning of the goddamn level. So after a while, you will begin to memorize shit because you're like, I need to get back to the certain point. And so I really liked the video game feel and respawn. It almost felt like you had unlimited lives in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Here's how you know Karen's a nerd, because this was going to be my first thing that I said about liking the movie, and I was like, there's no way Karen will bring up the video game stuff, because she's not, you know, she's just a neo nerd. No, she brought the video game stuff, so I just want to let you know you're a clean but you're absolutely right. You know, this is the best video game movie we've had, and it's not based off a video game.
Right.
Like, at one point in the movie, Tom Cruise's character gets that frustration you get when you've been playing the same part of the game over and over again, and you can't beat it. He gets that look in your face where you like want to throw your controller at the screen.
Yes.
And I was like, yo, I know that feeling.
Yo, he even stopped doing quick time events. Like saving his teammates.
Right. There was that one time he just walked by and let them die. There's even one time when he was like, man, you know what? I'm going to die anyway. So fuck this. I'm going to have a drink at a bar for one time.
Yeah.
he went and took a drink at the bar
and still died.
And still died, yo.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, that joint was great when he still died anyway.
Yeah. So it didn't even. And I think for me, when it comes to the video game aspect, he worked so hard to get to certain points, and then it was like, what do we do here? Fuck, I don't know. I just further I've been in the damn game. We just have to see what happens from here. That's yeah.
This movie could have been called Contra Code the movie. Cause he pretty much just had the Contra Code, and yeah, it was like, you need to memorize the steps in Contra Code. It's not the, you know, where you get unlimited hits and shit. This is like, oh, duck here, step here, blow back left, go jump up to the top, jump down to the bottom. Like, he knew all that shit going through the battlefield. That joke was so great.
And the funny part about that was that he was actually had to tell her what she needed to do, and she kept dying. So it was like you was watching a two-player party where everybody constantly died. If one of you fuck up, you all got to restart
when
over.
When they were fussing at each other, too, and he was like, it's going to be up here to the left. And then they were actually on the field. He's like, to the left, up to the... Up to,
Right? It was some co-op frustration shit. Like when we played, we used to play, Future Soldier.
Yes.
Listen, all right, we're going down here. You know there's going to be that guy coming around the corner. You take them on the right. Nigga, that's not the right.
Did you just snipe that dude?
Right? I told you to wait, man. No. Man, that shit was so good. And then when he was like memorizing the steps. That first time he was trying to get under the truck.
Yes. Chris, what about you, man? Well, give me something you liked about it.
Since Karen stole mine, the action. And this movie is action packed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think the movie was going to be this much action in it, but there, like, at one point, I'm like, yo, can we just take a break? Like, can we get some slow parts? Can we get some slow motion? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I really didn't like the whole kissing thing at the end, but at one point, I was like, yo, can we get a little interest here? Because, you're doing a lot of action here. Like, we literally go through, he dies so many times.
Yes.
And in so many different ways.
Yeah.
That you literally go through that day hundreds and hundreds of times and you watch him getting better like you do a normal video game. You know, it's incredible. I mean, the action scenes were done well. I mean, I saw it in IMAX, 3D and wow. It was an experience, man. It was great to see just all that on screen. I mean,
Was it shot in 3D, Chris?
I don't know if it was shot in 3D.
Yeah, I think this might have been post converted. I can look it up though.
These days you never tell because like the post production stuff. Like James Gunn mentioned it on Guardians of the Galaxy that you know, these days with post production you can do so much with doing 3Ds and you can really, you know, do specific scenes in 3D and adjust how it looks and things like that. So I don't know if it was shot or not, but it looked great.
On real or fake 3D, it's listed under fake 3D, which, like I said, not an insult anymore, in my opinion, because I've seen movies now where I'm like, they fooled me. Good.
You know, I think for me, I can tell the difference between a purely 3D and a non, because when it's purely 3D, everything pops out the entire movie. If it's post, you have some scenes that'll pop out or either you'll have some things that'll jump out, but the entire background won't pop out.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like that used to be true. I don't think it's true anymore.
Yeah, it's getting closer to you can't tell.
Yeah, like, I've seen movies in 3D in the last like year where I was just like, what was that it or not, you know what I mean? Like, and not in a bad way, but I'm just like, before I used to know, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is fucking obviously post converted, you know.
Until that James Cameron comes out with these Avatar sequels, and then we're gonna be like,
show them how it's done, son.
James the god.
You're right.
It's a wrap for this. Oh man, I love how people keep real comfortable saying that 3D don't matter right now. Okay. keep thinking it. Thing that I like, the comedy. God damn, this movie was funny, man. Like, that's the thing a lot of movies miss when they want to do like Impossible White Man, when they want to do sci-fi. You can actually make a movie better by throwing comedy where people don't expect it so that the scenes actually go by faster. You know, like Bill Paxton deserves some type of fucking Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, because his role as the Master Sergeant was so fucking good, especially as Tom Cruise started learning more and more about him and learning what he was going to do. And, he's like, I know you don't want to believe me, but listen, right now you're gonna pull this out of your pocket. You're gonna do this. You're gonna say that it's my birthday and, you know, like all this different shit. And it's like, dude's face was just priceless. I was looking at it. One part where he's like, courage is because, how a man reacts. It's not having fear. It's how a man reacts to the fear. He's like, you cut me off, boy.
And then he goes right back into finishing the quote.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
His not give a fuckness in this movie was, he's like, no, don't worry about it. I'll go ahead. So you want to make a phone call? Well, just follow me right here, sir. I'll give.
He was so good in this shit, man. And then the other comedy part that was like underrated but funny, where Tom Cruise was a coward.
Yes, he tried to run.
Like, he's not brave. Like, he stars this movie out. He's 100% coward. Ooh. And that nigga threatens the General Brigham like with fucking making the war turn against him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay, so that threat. He's like, no, I'm just, you know, he's like, okay, I'm glad we got to understand. He's like, yeah, I'm glad we got to understand too. Arrest this man. That nigga was such a coward, man. He's like me on the front lines, but I'm more of a recruiter. Like that joint was good.
He was sweating and shit.
Yeah, all the times he died trying to learn, train from Emily Blunt. All the times he dies on the beach, they make it light by making it funny rather than some dark. Oh no, he's dying again. How many chances will he get? It's just like he's stuck in a video game and a lot of physical comedy where you're watching him lose. Even the stuff with like some of the side characters, the dude that fights free ball style.
Yes.
Right.
You know, that shit was pretty good, man. And it makes the tonal shift towards the very end where they get serious when he loses powers or whatever. It makes it even more effective because then it's like that comedy makes you take the, oh shit, they only got one more chance at this, kind of serious. Mm-hmm. Karen, anything else you like?
I like the crew, the G-Squad, his crew he was with. I like them because they all played their little bit roles, I guess since you have to keep resetting and resetting and resetting, you've seen a lot of them and how they respond different ways. Cause the first time they got caught, you know, he came back in, he covered up for him one time and, you know, so he began to adjust around them. And I think one time he even told them what was going to happen. And then you turn at the end, his mouth was taped up cause they looked at him like, nigga, what?
Yeah. J Squad was great. Everything, there's a point where like J Squad is sent after him to like rein him in. Apparently that happens every night. Mm-hmm. And he just fought the dude by moving.
Right. He was like, watch this. He closed his eyes and then did it. That was so good.
What about you, Chris? Anything else?
Yeah, I just like the way they handled the story
of
this because it was a fresh take. I mean, you know, we don't get a lot of fresh takes on a lot of things in Hollywood. And yeah, you know, people go, well, this is just basically deja vu or Groundhog Day and things like that. I'm like, yeah, but it's a little bit different than that. I mean, it's the way they did it. They took something that we've kind of seen before and they kind of remixed it, added these other features in there, and they made it so entertaining. You actually, the first time you go through the day, you don't really have a lot of information about J Squad or any of these other people. You gain your character development through reliving these days over and over again. You get a little bit more about some of these other characters and things like this. You know, it's really cool the way they did it. Same thing with his relationship with Emily Blunt's character. What was her name? Rita, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really enjoyed the way they laid out the story. And like you said, even the way when he loses his powers and he can't reset the day and they have to do this, it's like by this point, he's basically, because he's lived this day hundreds of, maybe even thousands of times, he's basically a hardened soldier now. So his character develops into this coward.
Yes.
And now he's a hardened soldier, you know, and it's like, it's easier to explain. Like, if they did this in a regular movie, you know, you'd be like, well, how do you go from not being able to fire, not even being able to take the safety off your weapons, and now you're killing everybody? Well, it's easy. Why? He's been reliving this day for a thousand of times, and, you know, you finally get good at this shit. You know?
Yeah, it also really explains why, like that one episode when he gets respawned and he comes back and, he's whooping ass on the beach and J Squad all stops and starts looking at him like, what the fuck?
Right.
They were like, what is the new guy's name again?
Yeah.
he saves all of them and it just going ham and they're like, I don't want to, like, where'd you guys get this guy? Cause, we can't do that shit.
Yeah. The stuff that was weird, the love stuff was kind of weird when they got to the point where Emily Blunt, where he was like, you can't leave this thing. Like, I've done this scenario. We've lived this day so many times. And the way that they, like, when you're talking about storytelling, the way that they tell us that through the audience where they don't actually tell us, like, he's done this already.
Right.
Well, this is the first time we're seeing it actually from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically being like, holy shit. You've already done this. I die here. So you don't want to go on.
Right. And how many times, and she asked him, how many times have you done this? And he's just so calm about it. And he doesn't want to explain that. And you don't know how many times they've done it. You have no idea how many times he's been there. And that's when you realize that you're not going sequentially through this. I mean, you're going sequentially through this, but you haven't been there for him every day that he's gone through here. And there might be huge time gaps in between when he got there. The first, like to us, like you said, it's the first time we got there, but he could have been doing, he could have been there doing that 100 times.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Yeah. That shit was dope, man. Yeah. So the storytelling and, especially, the thing that they did the best was learning what to skip.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they, on your feet, maggot. Like they found a way to get like a 5-second soundbite into each one without being like, oh, and then Bill Paxton's going to do his whole thing again. And then this part about him being a maggot's going to happen again. And then meeting J Squad's going to happen again. Like he, they just made it fresh where it's like, instead of showing the whole thing with J Squad again, it's like, oh, he covered up the cards this time.
Yep.
You know, so that was dope, man. Let me think, is there anything else that I want to say I liked about it? I'll just open it up to everybody if there's more to add, but
I like the fact with Emily Blunt, how they made her character, especially for a female, like a badass. Like they made her like she was just the best thing ever, because they said like her first night, her first day of quote unquote there, they were saying how she came in and she could 100 of them, but you not knowing that
200.
She, 200, but you not know that she had the same thing that he had.
Right.
So, right. You know, it was one of those things where they made her such a badass and she would be like doing all these exercises in this place. It was basically forbidden for most people to go through. They wouldn't even be brave enough to even cross into that area. And, you know, I like the fact that it was a woman and she was a badass. And maybe that's just from a female perspective. Well,
they had that it's the future, so sexism doesn't exist type thing. And that was kind of cool, actually.
Yes.
To be quite honest, like one of the people in J Squad was a woman.
Right.
You know, so, and they, it doesn't come up, you know. I meant to say, this is under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Another plus, man. You don't need a 2-hour, 30-minute movie to be good, man. A lot of critics even like this, and critics pretty much at this point hate everything. And I thought they were going to do the Scientology thing, and I got to give them props. Nobody pulled the Scientology thing. Now, part of that might be because this movie was more of an underdog, because they like to take down the movies that they think are going to do well with or without their expectations. But, this joint, man, they did a great job, getting it under 2 hours, man.
Yeah, no, to go back on the Emily Blunt thing, but what I liked about that character is because she had the same powers before, you have no idea how many times, if she started off the same way Tom Cruise's character did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have no idea if she started off not wanting to be in the war, having no skill set, and then how many times she relived her day over.
Yeah.
How many times she, you know.
I like when she told him, when he was like, I'm just going to tell him. She's like, if you tell him, you're just going to end up getting dissected or such and such. He's like, oh, getting thrown to crazy asylum or whatever. And he does try to tell him that one time and it doesn't work.
Yeah, they taped his mouth up like,
I also like when, at the end when they realize that fighting the battle is not really what's going to work anyway. So they go try to convince, they try to talk them their way out of it. And he finally gets General Brigham to give him that component. And then that motherfucker still betrays him. But she was like, so now what do we do? He's like, I never got to this part.
Yeah, like this is a brand new level for me, dog.
the whole, you, because you don't know how many times they've done it. At one point, he goes, please don't shoot him again. Like, because you can tell that before. And she would just say, fuck it, I'm going to shoot him. She's like, if you shoot him, we don't get the safe. We can't open the safe. So don't shoot him. We gotta talk to him. We gotta try something else.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Ken, go ahead.
And for me, I like the different deaths. You know, and I know action is part of that too, but I just like the different ways. Like when he kills the first blue thing and it melts and like melts his skin apart, I was fuck, what is happening? And then he wakes up, I was like, oh shit, what happened?
Yeah.
And I just like, for the fact that like, with the devs, like she was just shooting the head. He'd be like, I got a broken leg, but I can, nope, got to kill you, poof.
Yeah. And when he started to know what he needed, when he's just like, I need 6 cases of extra ammo, 2-3 more grenades. Like, I like that shit. Cause in the beginning, he doesn't even know what a safety is.
Right.
He's like, how do I turn the safety off? How do I turn? He's just running around the beach. How do I turn the safety off?
Laughing at him because they're like, oh, he's going to die soon.
No, so he was like, then John Pactus was like, you going in the wrong direction, boy.
Yeah. Bill Paxton was so good, man.
Oh, Bill. I said John. My bad, Bill.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to report you. Bill was so good, man. Like I said, can't stress how great he was enough. J Squad, that last battle took a lot of L's, but,
yeah, they did.
That last battle was a beast, man. That shit felt like some shit out of the Matrix 3. Just shooting at silver shiny things. Like, don't kill us.
It was Griff and the other dude were like, fuck it, we're gonna stand here and we're gonna get you guys time. I was like, damn, man, I don't really know a lot about these characters, but damn, they about to go down.
Yeah, dog, it really got serious, man. Like, and I credit the comedy for that. Because they basically said, we're just going to take all the jokes out of the next 10 minutes, and it's going to get real as shit. And it did, yo. Black Cuz died like a hero, man.
Yeah, I do like, I know y'all was talking about like the aliens, mm-hmm. not the ones that look like griffins, but I'm talking about like the ones that was really quick and fast.
Yeah.
I actually, when they first came on the scene, it was one of those things of, what the fuck is this? All of a sudden, people started going down. They was buried underneath the sand. So it was just one of those things for me as a player. If you're playing a video game, like you walking all around, all of a sudden you just get ate and you don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of creatures in the video games I don't fuck with, yo.
Yep.
Right.
Like too fast. I don't know what skills I need.
And you know what? That's what happened. He wasn't supposed to go there. He ain't followed the layout for him. They was like, look, if you go here, you need to be 55. He was at a 10 and got fucked up.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's character wasn't leveled up enough.
No, he walked in there. That was like, oh, you want to be here?
And there was something else too. I just forgot it, but yeah, the creatures were dope.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer. That's what I was going to say. The trailer worked for this too. Because it does tell you a lot without telling you the whole story.
Yeah.
The only thing they kind of couldn't put in the trailer, it's not their fault, but was the comedy. But it's really not, but then they would have lost a lot of people who would have been like, oh, fuck this movie. Now he going to try to be funny. He got jokes.
And even then, sometimes they kind of threw a little bit in there. Like, there was a couple of the TV spots that had, like, Emily Blunt shooting him again after he broke his leg.
Yeah.
And then there was the first time I saw Bill Paxton, I was like, wait, Bill Paxton in here?
Yeah.
I was like, that's what got me. Because I didn't know Bill Paxton was in it until I saw that one TV spot. I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Paxton playing a Master Sergeant? Oh, nigga, I'm good, yo.
I fucks with over-the-top Bill Paxton, dog.
Yes.
I like that more than when he tries to play it straight, man. Shout out to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, man. Well, that's pretty much it. Let's go ahead and wrap this up with our review from 0 to 5 on the movie trailer review scale. Karen, what would you give this?
I give it a 5. I had a good time. I liked the action. It wasn't long. And I know some people may have said it was confusing, but they explained it well enough where it made sense to me.
What about you, Chris?
It's a 5. This is one of Tom Cruise's best movies in a long time. Like,
yeah,
he does fairly well with most of his movies. But this is by far to me. Like, I'm looking at his last few. He had Oblivion. I liked Oblivion, but this is no comparison. Jack Reacher, Rock of Ages, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocols, Night and Day. Yeah, this is the best movie he's had since Ghost Protocols and Tropic Thunder. So yeah,
I gotta give him props too, man, because comedically he's underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's versatile as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has the material to work with, I think he always knocks it out the park. I love Jack Reacher. It's because it's Impossible White Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oblivion's good. Not the the thing Oblivion was missing in hindsight, the comedy.
Yeah.
Didn't let him be. You gotta let him be funny, man. Like, yeah. Can't be depressing shit.
Like I said, I liked Oblivion, but like I said, this Edge of Tomorrow hit all the stuff that you want.
Right.
Got that Impossible White Man from Jack Reacher, and then you got, you know, the sci-fi elements of Oblivion,
mm-hmm.
like all in one movie. That's what I need.
And Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was funny as shit too. Okay, Same thing because physical comedy, but you know, it let him do all his shit. I even like Night and Day. And Night and Day is not a good movie. It's just, but it's mm-hmm. just, he is, it's an impossible white man in the middle of a fucking rom-com. It doesn't make sense. He just shows up and does impossible white man shit. And he's funny, you know? So I think this movie, if you, you know, like elements of these other movies, but you're always a little bit like, yo, Tom Cruise, man, he just like, he almost got it, but he did. This is the one where he gets it.
Yeah.
I give it a 5 also. Fuck you, wait before I go see this shit. All right, man. Check out Movie Trailer Reviews for Chris and Insanity Check Podcast for Chris. You know where to find us, so we'll be back soon. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.